You might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Acts and chapter 1. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, here we are. So help us, Spirit of God, that we might have that which you have in mind before we were ever here. Long before we were created. God, here we are. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John in chapter 15, we have moved into the place where Jesus, chapter 16 and 15, 16, 17, God is going to go and give some specific information that should be helpful. And it is needed because to prepare them for all that lies ahead. And he gives them for warning and he encourages their heart at the same time. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, if you would, you would recall, go back over to John chapter 1, the Gospel of John in chapter 1. And in the Gospel of John chapter 1, you would recall God introduces the book and helps us understand God's awesome person, that he is God. And in the process, the Word became flesh, etc. The Word was with God, the Word was with God, the Word was God, verse 1. Now, when you come down to verse 10, the response, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. They didn't really acknowledge or take note of any significance of God's person. And understandably, they didn't honor the Jew, they didn't honor the Bible. Verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Those are the Jewish people, and the Jewish nation as a whole rejected him. Now, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the power to become sons or children of God, even to them that believe in his name. So he reaches out to the whosoevers, wherever they are. Now, in doing that, he's remember the Jews, negative, they don't want to know. They're going to say, just coming up, we have no king but Caesar, and crucify him, crucify him. That's coming up. Christ is going to be crucified. And the Jewish nation, the Roman, Pontius Pilate representing Rome, they're going to crucify him. Wow, that's what they're going to do. The world, Rome, Caesar, Pontius Pilate doesn't care. I mean, but if it has to be, then crucify him. To the Jews, that should care, but they don't. They don't, and so they do that. They crucify him. And therefore, and having crucified him, they're going to be able to say the Jews are going to have a problem, the Jews are going to have a problem, and the Gentiles are going to have a problem. And the Gentiles are going to be able to go and think the crucifixion, a resurrection, an empty tomb, and they're going to figure out, well, the Jews got a little problem with it, but the Gentiles, well, we can't find his body. Who knows? And it doesn't make any difference to the Gentiles. So we're done with the matter. We're done. He's crucified and done, and it's finished. So, having said that little bit, back over to Acts. Acts in chapter 1, verse 8. Remember, God is going to go and do a wonderful thing on the day of Pentecost. And you shall receive power, Acts 1:8, power, dynamite, dynamic for everything. After the Holy Ghost, God is going to have to do it, is come upon you. And you shall be what? Witnesses unto me, my witnesses. Where are you going to be witnesses? Both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So God, you're going to, and so the future, he's preparing them for the future. Acts chapter 2, and you know, as their day of Pentecost, etc., their testimony, remember now, Christ is crucified, an empty tomb, it's all gone, we're done with the whole thing, basically. Just a phenomena we can't answer. And chapter 2, picking up in verse 32, for time's sake. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. So every time now you're going to find all of these, they have power to witness to his resurrection, and that's what they're going to do. So they're bearing evidence of his resurrection. So the empty tomb is going to be revealed, because here's the one in the empty tomb in the heart of a believing boy or girl, man or woman. And they're going to have to answer that. And that's the only sign he's going to give them. Now, keeping that in mind, chapter 4 and in verse 2, remember they're dealing with the apostles, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. So that's what they're consistent. When you think of Romans 10, jumping ahead a little bit, Romans 10 and 9 and 10, what do we do when we get saved? We believe in our heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Resurrection. Now, here we are in chapter 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. For when they, verse 13, now, they're telling him, you've got to know the Lord as their Savior, and we're witnesses. Verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. So their life was so different, just fishermen and tax collectors, etc. But their life was different. And they had a awesome relationship to God. For real. We remember the other day we mentioned it. To thirst for God, to go for God. That's what it's all about. And we either do or we don't. But we have the privilege of, it's up to us. Now, so here we are going, and they're fishermen. But underlined, they're different. They're different enough fishermen, different enough tax collectors, you have to take note of them. You can't walk away from them, and you can't make believe they aren't there, because there they are. Now, sliding over, if you can, to chapter 4, verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things in common. They had a wonderful binding of them together. Hang on to that. Verse 32. And what was the result? And with great power, remember, Acts 1:8, power. With great power gave the apostles witness of what? Of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. So they had the wonderful power, they had the wonderful witness of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ in their heart, and in that, thus they had God's wonderful grace, upon grace upon grace, in order that they could be wonderfully, wonderfully different. Now, hang on to that, having that little bit in mind. So therefore, back over to John chapter 15. And in John chapter 15, you would recall, picking up in our context, if you would. Now, what are we looking at? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, I just gave you a little head pushing into the future, coming back now in time. They're in the upper room. He hasn't even been crucified yet. He's going to be in a few hours. And he's telling them, guys, you're going to have to go out, but you need to know what you're going to have to do, why you're going to have to do it, and what you're going to find when you are different. When you are different, you're going to find something. I want you to be ready. Now, therefore, chapter 15, picking up, please, in verse 18. And I'll read verse 17. These things have I commanded you, that you love one another. If it's first class, it means it does. If the world hate you, and it does, it isn't a question, first class, and it does. The world does hate you. That's a straight statement from God. Do you understand? The world hates you. Well, I don't feel hated. We don't feel hated. It's in the present tense. And if the world hates you, know, be knowing that it hated me. It present tense, it's hating you. It hated me with the result that still hates me. And it hated me before it hated you. It hated me before it ever hated you. Now, hang on. Now, so in the light of that, here we are looking at them, and they're sitting there. They don't have a understanding of what's going to happen. All they can see is he's going to die in somehow a bad way, and he's going to be gone, and we're left alone, and we're either going to be put as followers in prison or killed or something. It isn't, our future is very dull and dim and dark. A doom awaits us. Now, he says they're going to hate you. They're going to hate you because they hated me. And he's been telling them all of these wonderful things. Now, hang on, because remember now, the Spirit of God's ministry is going to make all of that real. All the stuff that can't be a kid, doesn't fit our humanity, our world system. But God's going to do something. Because of his son. Now, so therefore, pick up that little mood, if you would, and remember in John chapter 15, let alone elsewhere, John chapter 15, he said, in verse 4 and 5, etc., he said that he is the branch, and they are the vine. He's the vine, and they are the branch. Remember, he said that. So they're going to have that relationship, and to him as the vine and the branch. Now, there's all kinds of trees out there, all kinds of people using trees. There's the grapevine, and grapes. Well, there's all kinds of using trees, all kinds of trees, but they aren't grapes. And therefore, going back to humans, all kinds of humans. But there's going to be humans that have a character, behavior, lifestyle different. That's different than all the other humans. Other humans don't speak like that, think like that, feel like that. They're going to be different. Why? Because they're abiding. What are they doing? They're abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the vine, and they are the branches. And they're going to produce fruit. It isn't the abiding that's going to get people all upset. It's the fruit. And the fruit of the Spirit of God, God is going to make himself known, etc., in the life of a boy, a girl, a man, a woman. Wow. He's going to make himself known. He's going to make us like aliens. Aliens aren't accepted. Aliens, they don't belong. That's what alien means. They don't belong among us. They aren't from us. They aren't from the same everything we are. We're different. Aha. Now, so A is fruit. We got a problem with fruit. That's going to make us, if the believers, they haven't got there yet, Acts chapter 2, they're going to be witnesses of his resurrection, and they're going to show his life, fruit. And they're also called, remember, we share together chapter 15, verse 13, etc. They're friends. They're friends. Well, who are they friends of? They're friends of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who's a friend of God? Everyone, friends of God? How can you be a friend of God? How can you be a friend? Who's your friend? We have our friends. God is your friend. He is my friend. Fruit? Friends with God. And most of all, Father. He's our Father. Our Father. Oh, Unitarianism, God is the Father, you know. No, not like that. Not like that, no. Or the other system we have out here, you know, and sometime when I'm in the veterans things or something like that, they say, Father, what should we do? And I look around to see who they're talking to. They said, I don't know you. Jeanette never had you. Never had you. No, sir. No, sir. I don't say that to them. Just have to let it go, you know, sometime. Wow. Wow. Father. God's your father, your friend. And you've got fruit that is different from all of us, because it's the fruit of God's wonderful life. Now, having said that, hanging on to that so far. So, therefore, and you're able to ask, remember we did that, he told them all in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, when you're going to be able to talk to God the Father as his friend, and you're going to be able to talk to God the Father in such a way that you're going to want his will in your life, and God's going to outwork his wonderful will in your life on a daily basis. And the thick of thin of it, they're going to be asked, like in 1 Peter 3:15, they're going to ask a reason, why on earth did you handle the problem that way? Why did you handle the remark that way? Why did you handle the suffering and the heartache that way? They want to know. And God is going to do a wonderful thing. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, they're going to be able to ask God's will directly, my Father. And I ask him, and you ask him. They can't do that. They can't do that. My Father. They can't do that, what you can do. Okay, so far, we got the fruit and the friends and the Father. And therefore, and choosing God's wonderful will in a most wonderful way, and in the process, a process of all of that. Remember now, he said, with 15 and verse 8, as they have hated me. Just as one little note on that, just so you catch it, that you've done it. John, hold your finger here. John chapter 7. In John chapter 7, picking up, please. And you will note in John chapter 7, picking up in verse 6, a little context. Then said Jesus unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but it hated me. But me it hateth. Why? Because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. But after my crucifixion, they're going to hate you. I warn you, I make you ready. If you're going to represent me, fruit, father, friends, you're going to have such a relationship to me that I'm your God and Savior for real and for right, they're going to hate you. They hate me before they hated you, and they're going to hate you. Hang on. That's a statement. Now, back over, if you can, in the Gospel of John, and picking up things. And remember now, in verse 17, we read, "These things have I commanded you, in the light of all the context we just mentioned, that you love one another." Why is that? Because you represent me. You're my body. I'm the head, remember, Colossians and all that. You're the body, and I'm the head. And all parts of the body point to and are under the head. They don't point to another head. The liver doesn't point to the pancreas. The liver, pancreas, and lungs all are under the outworking of your brain, your system, outworking it, and they're all harmoniously in order. And when they're harmoniously in order, they are honoring the head. When they honor the head, how can you honor me, fruit, father, friend? Fruit, father, friend on this side. Fruit, father, friend on this side. This side understands this side and is one with it. This side understands they're both the same. You both have the same father, same fruit. You're both friends. So no matter the stranger, whether I look at you on this side or I look on you on this side, I hear and see the same Lord, do I not? That's why the devil came in, Matthew 13 and that, with all the churches and everything. So the Methodist church and this church and that church and that church, they're all out there. Uh-huh. So you got different Jesuses. Different gods, actually. All different. Who knows which God is which God? When they're supposed to be just the same. Father, fruit, friendship, one. So no matter where you look, that's why he said, love one another. You're pointing to me. So this side is pointing to me, and this side's pointing to me, and you better be you better be together. Because that's your assignment, to point to me. Not to point to somebody else. Not to point to something else. Point to me. That's why he said, love one another. It isn't because you're lovely and lovely. I know you're all lovely and lovely. It isn't about that. You know, I don't love that person. They don't eat pizza like I do, etc. It doesn't make any difference. It isn't about that. It's about, did you get saved? If you got saved, then you need to exercise being saved. And that's what he's saying. And when you're saved, the world's going to hate you. Hang on. You need to put all the pieces together. And that's the trouble. People ask me a question. They say, what about this? And I out there somewhere, I can't always answer everything that way. And then they never come. I hit the subject 5 times in a row to help you understand a subject, like we're doing in 6 o'clock with the Antichrist. Better than that. What is the Book of Life about? Who's in the Book of Life? Who's in that and why? And how do you get out of it? Anyway, that doesn't matter. Now, so here we are looking in God's wonderful word, and God tells us that we need to go and love one another. And in the process, because you're going to do so, and the body is going to have such a relationship to the head that everyone's going to do that. And when they do that, then you're going to get locked in to this representing who I am, and you're going to find that in the process, as you represent who I am, they are not happy with who I am. And you would say, someone said to me the other day, you know it, with no such things, why isn't it that people don't get saved? It's so obvious. Humans are humans, flowers are flowers, bugs are bugs, and the stars, it's so obvious that we, God, what are we going to call you? God, what are we going to do to know the Creator, as we mentioned in Sunday school? Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so God, you want the highest and best, which is your love. And so God is love, and God's going to go and want the highest and best in every one of us. And the highest and best is Himself. So God's going to do a wonderful thing in our little head and heart. And God's going to do it for His glory and honor. And He is glorious. And He is going to want what? He wants us to be able to enjoy and exercise and experience His wonderful person. And when we do so, we're going to do so in a world that is not doing that. And the world is not going to be happy with that, not going to be happy with that at all. So therefore, in verse 18 again, God, they're going to hate you, but before they hated you, they hated me. Now the little word hate comes from the Hebrew verb, and it comes to do with, has to do with to be rejected, the root, to be thrust out, to be thrown out, to be separate, and then the word develops. And the word has to do with rejection, being despised, abhorred, to have contempt for, mockery, rejection, hate. I reject, I hate it. You know, I hate something. I hate this, I hate that. And we do that, that's the word. That's the word you're looking at now. And therefore now, God, you're helping them. Now, in the process, what are they going to be able to know after the day of Pentecost? That God is going to have given them instruction, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, etc. They're going to have these things. So therefore, God, did you, and before that, These 11 left in the upper room that are listening and getting all this, they already heard this. What did they hear? Earlier, what did you tell them? So that they are not surprised. Matthew chapter 10. And in Matthew chapter 10, and you will notice, if I can, verse 5, 10 and 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not unto the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. But, on the contrary, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And go as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So what they have an assignment, and they're going to go and communicate to the people of Israel, up and down the cities and the villages. They're going to go up and down and tell them the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The king is going to come through here. He already has come through. He's going to come through again. The kingdom of heaven, it's your opportunity to enjoy all of the privileges that God had in mind, as it were, for Israel. Now you're going to take advantage of it. That's their process. That's what John the Baptist did, and they're continuing it. Verse 11. And into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. In other words, stay, they welcome you, then be comfortable. And when you come into an house, salute it, and if the house be worthy, let your peace come unto it, you know, the peace, blessing to your house. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily, verse 15, I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for the city, than for that city. So they're going to go through, and as they go through, they're going to go and preach the kingdom of heaven at hand. They're either going to be welcomed or unwelcomed, and if they don't want anything to do with it, as they leave the city, they shake the dust off as a symbol. God leaves you alone. And they keep going to the next place. Now, in doing all of that, that's what they're going to do. They have a ministry, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and they're going to do it. Are they going to be welcomed sometime and sometime not? But know this, verse 22. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. So you're going to go and be hated. I want you to know that. When I send you on an assignment, it's my assignment, it's my kingdom, you're bringing my message. I want you to know the world is not going to be happy with that. The Jews aren't going to be happy in this case. And I want you, what did they, when they went, when you, these same guys in the upper room, the 11 of them, didn't you guys do this? And they'd have to nod their head. Didn't we all go up and down the city? Didn't you shake the dust off your feet? And they'd all shake their head. Yes, we did. Yes, we did. Okay. Now, what else did I tell you? Matthew chapter 24. I told you what happened before, and I'm going to tell you what's going to happen later. And in Matthew chapter 24, picking up if I can, in verse 8, in the tribulation, beginning of the 7 years tribulation, chapter 24 and verse 8. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, etc. Verse 11, and many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. So God, we got it. So now I'm telling you, chapter 15, you're going to go out the door, and you understood being hated back then, and in the future, you're going to be hated, people like that represent me. Now you're going to be hated. I'm going, crucifixion, resurrection. I'm going, and you're going to be hated now in a way that you never have been hated. And he warns them. He warns them. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, back over to John chapter 15. And in John chapter 15, without taking a moment, I'll get sidetracked here, but John chapter 15, and if you look at verse 18, 19, 23, 24, 25, at your leisure, you'll find the verb hate. The subject is hate, and God is helping them understand, you can't honor me without the world God's going to go after you. You're alien. You're different. I'm different. I'm God. And God in you is different. And the world isn't going to be happy. You understand? You might as well roll up your sleeves. It just isn't going to be. It never has been. In fact, there's a day of Armageddon coming. The whole world's going to go against me. So be of good cheer. Now, hang on. Therefore, if I can, you need something else now in the light of that. Keeping that in mind, over to 1 John. 1 John, first epistle of John and chapter 1. And we need something else immediately. And 1 John chapter 1, among other things, in the Gospel of John chapter 12 and verse 8, etc., the Lord Jesus Christ says he's the light of the world. But now, in 1 John, putting it really simple for us, 1 John chapter 1, picking up, please, in verse 5. 1 John 1, 5. This, then, is the message, John said, which we have heard of him, and declare unto you. What is the message? That God is light, that in him is no darkness at all. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Hang on to that. God is light, no darkness, no mixture, no compromise, no halfway house, no way to have a middle ground. There's none. He's light, no darkness. Now, to get that, back over to 1 John, the Gospel of John, I should say, and the Gospel of John, chapter 1, and let me pick up the thought which you remind you of. John chapter 1, picking up, please, in verse 5. 1 and 5. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. He's the light. He came to be a light to man. He's going to convict men of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And he's going to convict them. Jesus Christ is the only God and the only Savior. And that he's light. And men hate light. And it tells us, God, you tell us right up front. In verse 5, and the light is going to shine in the darkness in our dead, dark hearts. And the darkness comprehended it not. And the darkness cannot comprehend it. It's to lay hold of, to seize, to be overwhelmed, to be able to go and grasp. The darkness cannot do one thing against the light. I was going to bring out my little flashlight or something, and I put it here. And if you could make the darkest of dark, dark and gloom, it wouldn't do one thing to this light. Not one thing. And darkness hates the light because it can't put it out. It can't stop it. Why can't it stop it? You're talking about God who created. It's his creation. You don't get rid of God. The world system tries to exclude God. But the trouble is God doesn't go away. And the Christians, the believers, in a day of grace, are supposed to be evidencing that he doesn't go away. You can't get rid of him. And we're little lights. Hang on to that. Now, so here we are looking God in the light of it. And it will not, the darkness, with all of its efforts, cannot overcome. God, your light. Can anything overcome you? Can anyone, anything, interfere with you being who you are, change who you are? No? Light, 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 always light, light, light. God is light. Wow. Wow. God. So the world hates it. You see, if you could get rid of something, but when you can't get rid of it, and you hate it, and it won't go away, your situation won't go away, your work problem won't go away, your health problem won't go away. I don't know what it is. People have problems. We all do. And then we hate, because we can't get rid of it. Why do we hate it? Because it can't get rid of it. What is darkness? Darkness hates light. Hates light. Well, you're right here, over to John chapter 3, which you'd know. In John chapter 3, and picking up, if I can, in verse 19. And this is the I'll read verse 18 for context. He that believeth on him is condemned already. Condemned. But is not. He that believeth on him is not, N-O-T, condemned. Condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. the unbelief, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and the men love darkness rather than light, because the deeds are evil. And every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds, his works, should be made real and public, and he'd have to deal with them and see them and handle them. I don't want to see my real heart. I don't want to see what I'm really like. I don't want to see what I really need. I hate light. I don't want to know. I don't want to know. Sometimes people have that in a physical thing, you know, that they have a problem, and they really don't want to know what the problem is. I just don't want to know what the problem is. Why don't they want to know? Because they don't want to know. And people don't want to know their heart. And God tells us, your heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. So you wouldn't put your heart up on the wall for a picture. You wouldn't do that. Oh, we have our pictures when we prep ourselves, when we're that, and after that, the world, that doesn't matter when you get after that. But we don't want to see ourselves as we really are. No, sir. Not one of you, not one of us would want to see ourselves apart from Christ on the inside, up on that wall. You wouldn't want to see it. You wouldn't want to see it. That's our problem, because that's our real life in apart from God, and we don't want to see that, and we reject the light, and we don't want to talk about it because it will drive us crazy. We'd commit suicide. And that suicide isn't the answer, because then you're facing. It's a stupid thing, suicide is. It's a sin, besides. But you can't go and do that. That's dumb. You're facing eternity. Man, you're jumping into it. Do anything you can to eat some more Cheerios. Do something. Wow. Now, so God, here we are looking, and God, men love darkness rather than light because the deeds are evil, and they don't want to come to the light, and they just don't want to do it. And therefore, God, and one other thing, while you're on it, even take time to do it, how do we handle it? Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah in chapter 5, way back in history. How do the Israelites do it? How do the world do it? How does the world do it? Isaiah chapter 5. And as you know, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing that helps us every time. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Woe unto him of all the woes. Woe unto him that call evil good and good evil. That put darkness for light and light for darkness. That put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Turn it all upside down. Make sure you call darkness, darkness light, and call light darkness. We live in darkness. We are dark. But if I call it light, then the rightness of God, the holiness, God, that's a religious fanatic, something else out there. And wow. But that's because I can call darkness light. But if I call darkness darkness and let light be light, I'm guilty as can be. So I don't want to say that. I have to turn it all out. We do it in legislation, all kinds of legislation that is done to turn it upside down, to make it right, make it look right. It's wrong. But if we make it legal. Didn't the Methodist Church just do something? We've got to make it right. We've got to make it turn it upside down. We can't fix it, so make it work. Wow. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, God, and we just got going. So we got to quit. But let's quit on a little higher note than Isaiah 5 and 20, turning it all upside down. Over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. And in Ephesians chapter 5, you would recall, if I can, sliding down directly in the light of all of it, in chapter 5 and verse 8, Ephesians 5:8. For reason, we were sometimes darkness, till we got saved, and God gave us light. But now are ye light in the Lord. That's where we got light. And we walk as children of light. That's the problem. Because you walk as a saved man or woman, boy or girl. And if you're really going to be walking that way, it doesn't mean you be a pain in the neck, everybody, and put them, take them by the collar in time, you got to be saved. Though sometime that might work. You don't do that. No, you're going to have to be a walk in the light as he is in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ is going to cleanse us from all sin. And we'll walk as children of light, verse 8. And therefore sliding down, verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. We don't live in dark. I don't want to live in the dark. That's why I got light. God's word is light, so I can understand my heart. I understand my heart is deceitful. And I don't trust my heart. I know what it is. And you know what yours is. And you know, God, you saved me from it. Wow. That's an awesome thing. Verse 12. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved, remember in John chapter 3 and verse 21. Remember, wherefore he saith, verse 13. All things that are reproved are made manifest, public, clear, plain. How? By the light. That's why we walk in the light. And when you walk in the light, 1 John 1:7, we see our sin. If we say we have no sin, we make him a liar. No, in the light, I know that. There's no way I'm going to goof myself up and talk about something that's wrong. I'm not trusting myself, A, B, C, D. How can I walk in the light and know? If I say, 1 John 1:8, if I say I have no sin, I make him a liar, deceive myself, verse 10. I can't do that. You can't. That's why we don't want to walk in the light, because then we can't kid ourselves about ourselves. Now, we aren't quite that bad. There's a lot of people worse than me, and I'm not so bad, and it's all going to come out all right. You don't want to find out when you drop dead. That's the wrong time to find out. The wrong time. You need to find out here and now, stay with it and stay awake and know which side you're on. Know whether you have life or you don't. Either you have life or you don't. Either you have light or you don't. And you need to fix it now. And therefore, verse 14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, awaken, confess your sin, walk in the light, etc., and Christ shall give you light. Wake up. Is that right? Wake up. Wake up. Don't be sleepy. You'll lose out. Stay awake. Stay awake. I gotta quit. We didn't get far. I hope we got a little bit. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to be, it's a wonderful thing to be an alien. Is it all right? You want to be this kind of an alien. I got to tell you. And you know, I can't even get into it. Angels know whether you're saved or not. The good guys and the bad guys. We're in their presence. The world, we try to hide from the world whether we're saved because we don't want to be offensive. We don't want to be different. And being different isn't. I'm whatever you. We're all us, and I don't know. The waitress always serves me coffee when I want it. I mean, I don't know. They don't come and throw stones at me. Do they at you? No, I live in the world. I live in a world with businessmen all over the place and people, and they don't. You know, I pay them when they're supposed to, and I shake their hand when I'm supposed to. I know I do that. You know. So it doesn't mean when God says you're going to be different, you're going to be hated. Yes, you are. But understand, if they be around you a little bit, you bowed your head and prayed, that's different. And the way you talk. Sometime we're talking at the table, people hear us, and and walk by, and we've had them put our hand on the shoulder, you know, going by. They listened. They were listening. I wish I went to listen to the whole dumb conversation, you know. Wow. God, listening. People know you're different. I don't mind being different. I want to be different. Don't you? I don't want to be unsaved. I don't want to be in the dark. I don't want to be dead. I want to know God and honor God who loves us. And so on. Wow. I want to be. Our Father and God, deal with our heads and our hearts and help us in every way. God, we just don't understand all this, and we're trying to understand it and trying to handle it, God, properly, so that we can understand, God. We aren't trying to fit in like Nicodemus, to fit into the world system so we can do everything. No, we're trying to fit in to your wonderful person in a proper way, that we walk in the light as though it in the light, as children of the light. And we want to be able to enjoy the light. And we want to be able to enjoy that in the darkness, God, like even David of old. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, deep darkness, God, I will fear no evil. And you told us the reason. Thou art with him. God, here we are in a dark world, loving darkness. And God, we just want to be little lights in our own heart and our own head, that we have clarity and understanding of your name, your person and work on Calvary's cross, honoring your word. God, Spirit of God, only you can make all this real. And help us to enjoy, experience, and enjoy knowing you as our Lord and Savior. God, thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.